Friends, as we gather again this year, there's something to share, just in a few words. Sometime in April last year, 2009, a certain theme and a certain text came very insistently. It kind of seized us, and it's now 10 months and it wouldn't go away. It stayed with us. It kept coming back from a million quarters, many corners, in many different ways. And the sense of it was mutation. As something new, which we're all aware of, grows in our beings as humans and affects the changes that it does in the institutions and events and situations around the world, irrespective of cultures and countries and people. As the new grows, we find that the old collapses. It crumbles till it lands into a kind of chaos, a multiple chaos. And there is a mounting series of crises, one after another, after another, after another. Nothing is resolved. More are added. And a question comes, which we shall sit with in these 3 days. Is it through a series of crises that we have the advent of mutation? It's a question. In this context, there are a few words of the mother which are in the brochure, but I would like to read them out so that we can all dwell upon them together. These are from the mother. All the ages and millennia of human life that have elapsed so far have prepared the advent of this new state. And now the time has come for its concrete and tangible realization. That is the very essence of Sri Aurobindo's teaching, the mother. This is the year of the centenary of Sri Aurobindo's arrival in Pondicherry, when he, in a sense, physically moved away from the political arena of the freedom fight for India and subsequently for all of Asia, most of Asia, and lodged much more intensively on his other work, which is symbolized in these words of the mother. On this occasion, this event of 3 days with its components of music and art, it's an offering of gratitude in our will on this occasion to Shobindu and the mother. We begin the event of these 3 days by a recitation by Aurobindo. She will recite 3 poems under the title New Maps, and we have the text to follow the poems. These poems are written by Anu, who is not with us at this moment.
It is not as though the sun lost its way upon a cloud, life traveler. It is just that your heart was overshadowed by a doubt. Find me a river. I no longer have shores. Find me a rainbow. All sides are falling off. Find me a map of the infinite, so minute that everything I once was or will be can nest inside it, unburdened. Beloved, be in excess, be outrageously present. Beauty no one can deny. Be the veil tearing inside our eyes, light that opens ourselves to joy. Be loved, beloved, till we forget all your names. Be the hunger, be the thirst, be the oneness, day by day. Be in excess, beloved. Be in access. Be in excess, beloved. Be in access.
It requires a lot of courage to break into speech after this. Manoj has happily chosen a theme to share, which is somewhat easier. Surrendering to change. Manoj.
Greetings. Change is upon us. Whether we like it or not, and the question is whether it is through a series of crises that we transform. There is no choice. And the change is intensifying. The pressure is building up. Nearly 100 years ago, when Sri Aurobindo started writing, in the very first issue of Arya, along with Life Divine, he started writing on the secret of the Veda. And the very first hymn, the lines that he picked up from Rig Veda, is of great significance. Those lines carry. A secret key to understand our present crisis, the evolutionary crisis we are facing as a species. The lines we're dealing with the dialogue between Indra and Agastya. Indra, the giver of light, the Lord of the luminous mind, the divine intelligence, opposes Agastya. Agastya was attempting to reach beyond the time and space, the levels that are beyond, by the sheer power of thought. In the Vedas, the powers of thought were called the Maruts. And he had reached a phase of growth, inner journey, where the power of thought as a means to reach, to grasp, to understand, was opposed by greater Godheads, Indra in particular. And he asked Indra, why you stop me? Maruts are your brothers. And Indra explains to him, it is not by the power of thought you can reach the higher realms. Maruts, the powers of thought, must be surrendered. They must subordinate themselves to the action of Indra. Initially, Agastya did not understand. And Indra explained, and finally, when he understood, then the struggle was transformed into a collaboration between these two Godheads, Maruts and Indra. What is the significance of this for us? Our present civilization, our present culture depends itself on the power of thinking. The whole age of reason, the whole science and technology depends on the power of thought. And we have reached a point where there is a violent struggle. the gods are opposing. You can't proceed further as long as you rely on thought as a means to progress. We have reached a stage where thoughts are to be transcended, or thoughts are to subordinate themselves to greater intelligence. But how does that happen? How does the transition take place? When Mother created Auroville, she said the world is preparing for a big change. She also said, leap before you think. She reversed the traditional wisdom. Which says, think before you leap. When she defined the charter of Auroville, the first point ended with saying, to live in Auroville, one must be willing servitor of the divine consciousness. Now, how do we put these things together? Leaping before we think. And becoming willing servitors of the divine consciousness. First of all, what is divine consciousness? Our usual approach is to understand it by mind, by thinking, by reading about it. But to make it easy, make it simple, direct and accessible, she also gave the vision of Matri Mandir, asked Auroville to build Matri Mandir. And she said, Matri Mandir represents divine consciousness. Now, when we go to the chamber, the inner chamber of the Matri Mandir, what happens? There is a presence. There is a silence. And a deep peace that envelops. And the sense of the sacred. When we go there, one thing stands out, loud and noisy. That is our mind. The noise in the mind, the thoughts running one after other. The presence there, the consciousness that is embodied in that space, gives us a direct experience of what lies behind thought. And a taste of the divine consciousness with its immediately recognizable qualities. Of silence, a vast peace, and the sense of the sacred. If we are to become the willing servitors of divine consciousness, this state of being, this state of consciousness that is directly accessible there in that space, ought to be embodied within ourselves, in our inner space, when it becomes our natural state of being. When we open ourselves, widen ourselves, regardless of where we are, when we open to the silence, the underlying silence behind all that is happening, all the noises of the world, all the movements that invade our senses, there is a silence, there is a peace which gently descends, envelops, permeates, it infuses all over you. It is easy in the Matrimandir inner chamber. There we get a taste of it and we can carry it out, bring it out as we engage in our activities outside. But in our action outside, we get lost in our thoughts. And that poise that we can get, that inner poise of silence and vast peace with that presence of the sacred fades off quickly when we come out. But that is the first condition. To establish that in us. And naturally, thoughts fades off when it is there, when we embody it, when we open to it, wherever we are. It descends, it permeates. There is a stillness that's different, like when you go to a deep cave in a mountain, you can come across silence and stillness. Often eerie silence, eerie stillness. The difference is when there is a presence, there is peace, a vast peace, a deep calm that envelops when the divine consciousness is present. And we can sense it in those places where great yogins did their tapasya. Go to those spaces. The presence can be felt there. In those spaces, thoughts naturally come to a stillness, and mind become like a clear blue sky. It is not that we lose entirely the power of thinking. We no more think, but thought is a means to receive knowledge. Thoughts subordinate themselves to greater powers so that it can become a means of reception and expression. Indra, the giver of light, works with thoughts. Marut surrenders to Indra. Thoughts surrenders to a greater light, and the light molds thought and expresses itself, and we receive knowledge. Whatever is required for our action. But this action can happen only when we have the inner poise that is established in the silence, in the vast peace, and as it deepens, the sense of the sacred. The body, we realize, is the Matri Mandir. There is an inner chamber within us. The crystal in our heart. The light from above, descending, molding the mind, molding the thoughts, becoming your dynamic energy, becoming your gesture, your action. And the light goes all the way down to the earth. And you become a pedestal, an adhara for the light to enter. With Indra also comes Mitra, the harmonies. With the divine consciousness, we recognize the movement of harmony, the inner harmonies, external harmonies, its natural rhythm. But we go through the alternations of being veiled by the mind and thought, getting back into the clearance of inner clarity, simple, lucid clarity that comes when the veil of mind is lifted. And two faculties begins to emerge. The most sought after ones. Drishti and Shruti. Truth seeing and truth hearing. Our vision becomes subtle. And the forms of the world become transparent robes of the reality beyond. Light breaks through the forms. Sri Ramakrishna one day he looked at the white cranes flying on the sky. And the light broke out. The vision beyond the world of forms into what lies behind the form. The presence of the formless, that which is eternal. But these openings of light, these trails of delight are intense if we are not prepared, if the vessel is not prepared, if the body is not prepared, if the dynamic energies are not stabilized, if the mind is not silenced. These doorways can shatter. The entry of light can shatter if my memory is correct. Sri Ramakrishna fainted when he saw that which was beyond the splendor. There is a long preparation required for the whole instrumental layers to be ready, to be receptive, to be passive, so that they can express something that comes from beyond. So are the noises of the world. They become subtle. And we hear the subtle hearing of the truth. Those special whispers that rings through quietly and purge deep within, bringing their messages. There are trails of light, trails of delight that opens the doors. The awakening rays. That touches, that enters and molds and transforms And you know that you do not initiate actions anymore. You do not think anymore, but you receive thoughts. You become action. But all arising from an inner poise. It is not the external form of action, the gesture, that matters. It is underlying consciousness. From what poise a gesture arises? From what poise a thought arises? From what poise you become action? As we establish this poise, we become anchor points in human substance. There is a hold, there is a presence of a greater consciousness. That is our inner riches. The wealth that we bring to humanity, our contribution, a different state of consciousness that can embrace all that is and permeate and gently mold. And it is not you who are doing it. It is being done through you. Your role is to be a willing servitor, perfect the instrument. That is the work. How to make the instrument as perfect as possible so that something greater can act. When we slip off the poise, we can see how noisy the mind is, how agitated our energies are, the rushing of prana in all directions, the scattering of thoughts. The unwillingness and the pains and miseries of the body. All these come under the direct influence. And we understand the nature of pressures that are coming upon us from a different perspective. You know the presence of the force that is molding you, molding the whole planet, molding the whole humanity. When all the fears are gone, when we offer ourselves, like a clay, like the clay in the hands of a potter. All the presences, all the crises become a means. Even when your mind do not understand which usually is the case. Mind cannot understand. When something happens, when there is a door opening, asking you to enter, asking you to make a choice and take an action, mind will come up and say, you have not done this before. You do not have knowledge. It's not your capacity. All the good advices. But we have to say, sorry, there is a call, I must go. We enter without knowing anything, in utter ignorance, ignorance from the perspective of mind. And it is frightening to the mind to be utterly ignorant, to know that the knowledge it thought was so important is so utterly obsolete, useless. When we renounce knowledge, and accept the call, follow the trails of light, the trails of delight, we learn that there is a greater plan. Greater intelligence at work. And you can trust utterly. And surrender utterly. You also recognize the battlefield. The cosmic forces. Phase is a mask. Behind the same face, you can encounter different beings. Or the same being can appear through different faces. You are no more fooled by the form. A force takes. You encounter the tremendous forces of hatred or fear trying to invade individuals, masses, even the whole humanity, like it is now, the panic. The fear of death. And the intense streams of hatred, anger, violence. All that enter. But when there is a pause, when we are established, they dissolve. They dissolve in light. And the battle fought with word. Become visible. Word is the most creative, potent power. Words are vessels. Behind word is the force. When a scholar says blessings, and when mother says blessings, there is a world of difference. The force behind makes the difference. As we enter and establish in silence, the right word, finding the right word, in any given context, become a crucial factor. We fall back upon our old ways of thinking to find the word, tapping into the memory. But when we leave behind the memory and all thinking, there is nothing than waiting in silence to find the word to find its way. You are a stranger to what is arising in you as word, as thought, as speech. You are waiting to receive the right word. Words opens the doors. Words invoke. When words arise from an inner poise, that is established in peace, in silence, in the presence of the sacred. Words takes us to regions, to domains that we never imagined. Words become friends, guides on the way. Words are not descriptive, they are creative. Usually we use words to describe greater power of word is to create. So we read in old stories, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Once someone asked Sri Aurobindo about something, why it is so. Sri Aurobindo made a comment on something, and a disciple asked why it is so. And he said, it is so because Master said so. The power of word. What is happening in our mouth? Our speech is usually very unconscious. To become aware of speech and word and what goes out as word, become a major field of attention, care. But this we cannot manipulate by thought. Only by embodying what is embodied in the inner chamber of Matrimandir. That vastness, that light, that peace. We can ensure that what rolls out from us carry the fragrance of that which is sacred and carries the touch of transformation, of harmony, of change that leads to a glorious future.
Manoj, we have actually, at the end of each person who speaks, you know, given him the option to invite an interaction, but I think you've again ended in a silence in which perhaps a further interaction can wait till the end of the day. Perhaps that would be nice.
Better.
Thank you.
Thank you.